Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday, the 17th of June, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. This programme will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. And in today's show, here in the studio, we have Vanda Cooley of social enterprise The Suit Works, along with Simba Mandisricha. We also have Kyle Odister here from California. He's been doing an MBA at Sheffield Hallam. He's also been working with the Wasco Brown Foundation and playing for the Sheffield Sharks. And he's been helping The Suit Works too for the last couple of weeks. We're going to talk all about The Suit Works, what they do and how they do it with Vanda, Simba and Kyle shortly. We also have an interview recorded last week with John Johnson and Jordan Gell of the Reach Co-Housing Project and Strip the Willow, a social enterprise on Aberdale Road. And John's Reach Co-Housing Project got through to the semi-finals in the National Virgin Media Business Voom pitching competition. You can hear all about their vision for sustainable eco-housing, how it be set up, its prototype, and then John's ambitious plans for turning this into a big scale upable model later on in the programme too. Before we turn to our guests, if you missed last week's programme, which featured Andrew Mills of Data Mills talking in depth about cybersecurity and how to protect yourself and your business, then don't panic, because it is, of course, available as a podcast on the Sheffield Live website. All you need to do is go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, look up Business Live, and then you'll be able to listen and download to the programme from the 10th of June. Whilst you're there, you might like to explore a whole wealth of exciting music, from folk to funk to rock to reggae to UKG to conscious hip-hop and much, much more. In fact, we've got a programme on Sheffield Live all about Elvis every Wednesday afternoon. Did you know that? Now you do. Now, while you're exploring the podcast, you might find lots of exciting music that you've never heard of before. I certainly have. So take the chance to do that. So coming up this week, we have some exciting interviews. Just before we do that, a reminder that the UK Steel Y Accelerator, they're seeking 10 candidates for their 2016 programme. On offer, there's an opportunity to benefit from 3 months of intensive development support and a chance to win £25,000 of equity investment from UK Steel Enterprise. The programme starts in September 2016. It's built around modern business modelling techniques with access to expert advice, mentors, specialist workshops, market research and tailored one-to-one support. It concludes with an investor pitch event, providing an opportunity to pitch to a range of investors. There's a chance to win £25,000 of investment. So if you've got an innovative idea and the aspiration to build a high-growth, scalable new business in the Sheffield City region, then they say this programme's for you. Applications can come from individuals, from teams or from companies with a new business idea with national or international potential. Doesn't matter whether you're in employment, whether you're a student or a postgraduate. Apparently it's the idea, attitude and commitment to realising the business that counts. And all industry sectors are going to be considered. So the UK Steel Accelerator, the UK Steel Y Accelerator, to give it its full title, is inviting applications until the 30th of June. And to do so, you need to go to the Sheffield City Region Growth Hub portal. More information at scrgrowthhub.co.uk. Find out the details there. So, whether you're starting, whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, if you think there's a topic that we should be covering on this programme, then we're always keen to hear from you. You can get in touch by email jamie@sheffieldlive.org. You can text me 07 904 272 200. You can find Sheffield Live on Twitter. You can find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter too. Let's turn now to our first guests of today. And in the studio, we have Vanda, Simba and Kyle. Good morning. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Thanks all for coming in today. And we've covered the Suitworks on the programme in the past. Yes. But first of all, Vanda, for people who haven't come across the Suitworks, do you want to just sort of explain what it is, what you do, and how the idea came about?
Okay, so it's a very simple principle. The people who come along to the Suitworks are unemployed men who have the offer of a job interview and they neither have nor they can they afford to buy suitable clothing for their interview. So they come through to the Suitwork through other agencies or charities and they have an appointment, they come along and we help them by styling them and we give them a suit, a shirt, a tie and a pair of shoes so that they can look fantastic, feel confident and make a really good impression when they walk into that interview.
Great stuff. So, confidence and making a good impression.
Absolutely.
And in an interview, people make a judgment based on clothing, but based on appearances.
Absolutely. As soon as you walk through the door, those first 20 seconds are vital. Because whether we like it or not, we make a judgment about people by how they look. And it's largely unconscious, but it does. You just have to make sure you're telling the right story, and you know it really makes a difference to us as well. I've styled guys, and I've seen them sort of, they grow in stature and they see themselves in a different light. So it, you know, it has a big impression on them, so they feel good when they walk through the door as well.
And you were on this show, as I mentioned before. You came on as a result of Sheffield Soup, the organiser of Sheffield Soup.
Penny
Raven was on the show with you, of course. So since being involved with Sheffield Soup, how's the business, how's the social enterprise progressed?
It's progressing really well. I have now quite a substantial amount of clothing, which is fantastic. Not enough shoes, there's never enough shoes. But there's much more awareness about the project in the city now, and referrals generally are on the increase. So it's doing really well, yeah.
Great stuff. Now you've brought a Suitworks client into the program today.
I have, yes.
And Simba's sitting here in the studio. Simba looking fantastically smart in a really lovely suit. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. And you?
I'm so good, Danny.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for coming in today. Where did you first hear about the Suitworks?
When I went to Jordan Thorpe Library, I met Lee Knight, and he said, "Oh, Simba, you got an interview. If you got an interview coming, and then if you don't have proper clothes for the interview, I can help you." Then I said, "How can you help me?" And he said, "We got a lady called Evander, so she can help you." And then I said, "What do you need?" Because I need a suit. Because I need to go for some interview. Then he said, okay, you have to prove if you got an interview. And then from there, we can refer you to them. And then I said, that's wonderful. So I got an interview from Progressive Care for caring job. And then I sent an email. And from there, he told me, okay, go to this address. And then you will meet this lady, and he gave me the contacts, so I contact with the vendor. So from there, I went there. That's how I contact.
Superb. Now, so you were referred thanks to Jordan Thorpe Library. Lee Knight there put you in touch. You had an interview secured, and you met Vanda. Now, meeting Vanda and then being supported in terms of style and suit, clothing. What sort of difference has that made then?
Right. When I arrived there, I was welcomed. Very, very good. I was happy when I saw her. And then we go to his shop. And then I saw there is a lot of suits which was there. And then she said, okay, let's try what you want. And then we see if it match. And then from there, we select there was nice suits or jackets. And then from there, I tried. And then if it is not good for me. And then he said, myself, I was thinking everything was good for me. But she said, oh, this is best for you. Can you try this? Can you see, are you happy with that? And I was so happy. And then
so it's not just here is some clothing, here is some suits. It's this is the suit that makes you look the best you possibly can.
Yes.
Yeah. And whilst you're looking for a job, I understand you're doing lots of voluntary work as well.
Yes.
An organisation, I think you mentioned we came into the studio, the British Red Cross.
Yes, I work for British Red Cross, and one of the day I went with the. With the suit from vendor. It was very, very nice, and all people were so expressed, and they were so happy, and they say, oh, you are looking very smart. Mm-hmm. At Red Cross, I work as a volunteer fundraising. On 2015, I become a Yorkshire man on fundraising, and then this year, I will be on top because I can mobilize people how to raise money, support the charity, support people who are suffering. So we are doing a lot of things in the Red Cross. I work as a refugee supporter at drop-in, and I do screening. People from different countries help their needs. If some don't have end support, some they don't have some jobs, some they don't have accommodation. It depends with the what the client comes with, the beneficiary it comes with their problem. Then, as a Red Cross volunteer, we help them to direct to the right path.
Yes, so you're helping refugees as a volunteer, and mm-hmm. but you're also fundraising for the British Red Cross, as you mentioned, and it sounds as though you're one of the top fundraisers in the region.
Yeah, I'm the legend. Everyone, when I...
It's not often we have a legend in the studio.
Especially one who looks so smart.
Yes,
a very smartly dressed legend. Well, that's absolutely fantastic. So in terms of the kind of interviews that you're going to and the kind of work that you like, I mean, you've obviously got fundraising skills, but what kind of roles are you looking for? And what kind of roles are you wearing your fantastic suit work suits to go to interviews for? What's your ideal job?
Right. Right. Myself, I'm a professional carpenter,
yes.
a joiner. But because there is some stages that I have to take so that I can work in the construction.
In the construction industry, yes.
Yes. But I do supporting because I did counseling. So when I did counseling back in Africa, I used to counsel youth, help them to direct their pathway as they grow up. Some, they don't have direction, but you can give them the advice. Also, you can support them according to their ideas or according to their pathway where they want to reach. When I go for the suits, when I do supporting, when you go for supporting job, it depends. Now you need to wear a proper decent clothes so that you can go for an interview, work with the people.
And it's also about confidence in the interview as well, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, presentative. When you go for an interview.
And wearing these clothes to go to interview, that makes you feel more confident.
For sure.
great stuff. Okay, brilliant. Well, let's come back to you, Simba, in a moment, and Vanda too. But I know we also have in the studio with us Kyle Odister. Kyle from California, playing for the Sheffield Sharks this season. Good, thank you. How are you?
Doing good.
And similarly, thanks for coming in today. Now, you've been playing for the Sharks.
Yes.
Great season, and doing an MBA at Sheffield Hallam. But you've also been through the Wasco Brown Foundation, been giving some support to the Suitworks. So what were your first impressions of this social enterprise, this business, and what have you been helping them to do?
I mean, this social enterprise is great. Just playing for the Sheffield Sharks and at Wasco Brown, just being able to join in the community that I'm playing in Sheffield and being able to see and find out new things about Sheffield is great. And just working with Vanda and seeing legends like Simba here and being able to help them is a great thing. So I've been really looking forward to it, and you know, I'm trying to gather some suits together now, so it's been doing good so far.
Right, good stuff. So more clothing coming their way as well.
Definitely.
Brilliant. And of course, you have a very good network in terms of the foundation and then the Sharks themselves. We'll be able to reach numerous supporters. That must be helping, I should think.
I mean, not only just getting suits, just getting the word about Suitworks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because you have to be referred to get jobs, so they might be more inclined to maybe offer someone jobs if Vanda can, you know, direct somebody to a job, and you know, people will just learn more about Suitworks and what they can offer. So I mean, it's great right now, a great enterprise.
Yeah.
And you know, especially because I'm working within Wasco Brown, which is a law firm, but within the law firm they have a foundation called the Wasco Brown Foundation, and the foundation helps sports clubs or social enterprises, charities. They help them raise money and help them spread awareness and gives them, you know, financial advice and helps them bring in clients. So working within Suitworks, you know, kind of helps and works and within the foundation, you know, kind of helps spread the word and, you know, get Suitworks and to get more people involved. So that's the main goal right now.
Yeah, so it's a sort of two-way process, if you like. I mean, we've talked with Jim Lawson of the Wasco Brown Foundation on this program in the
great
past
guy.
As well. Indeed. And those connections must be very valuable, as well as the support.
Definitely.
So whilst you've been playing for the Sharks, and doing your MBA, which I understand is relating to the business of sport, fascinating topic.
yes, dissertation.
Yeah, so when's that handed in?
It should be August, but I think it's going to be pushed back to January, so we're going to see.
Yeah.
So it's still determined, because it's been a long year, because we actually won for Sheffield Sharks, just going back, we won the BBL Playoff Championship, which we played in the O2 Arena in London, so we got to bring home the silverware to Sheffield, so that was great. And
fantastic achievement. Congratulations.
Appreciate it. So that was great. So just, and then finishing up my projects and my classes going into that, cause I was kind of juggling both at the same time. I had a paper due on game day of the championship, so it was just kind of juggling that throughout the whole year. So I mean, the year's over and I managed to get it through, so it worked out.
Good stuff. Well, it's been a busy year though, hasn't
definitely
it?
Definitely has.
And you've traveled, you've taken the opportunity to travel within the UK and the rest of Europe whilst you've been.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. This is the closest I'm going to get since I'm from California, so yeah. I got to take advantage of it. I've been enjoying it so far.
Although Sheffield's weather is really perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the best of it. I thought I was from California and I was going to bring some sun with me, but didn't work out. But
we had a little bit at the start of June, but it feels a bit miserable now.
Yeah, I mean, UK is different. Like, it'll be sunny and then hail and snow in the same day. I've never been any country or any day like that, so it's different.
We love it really. We can obsess about it
every season in one day, so
yeah, exactly.
we don't have snow in California, so it's something new for me.
No, that must be really interesting then to come to Sheffield. I mean, we have more snow in parts of Sheffield than others. I mean, you know, you can live top of a hill and get snow, and city centre there isn't some. Sometimes I find it fascinating myself.
Totally. I mean, that's what I came here for.
Where I'm from.
Yeah. Oh, Birmingham. Okay. Yeah. So that's what I came here for, just for the new experiences. You know, it was a great opportunity for me to start my MBA and start my pro career as well, and do the same.
Yeah,
and especially it's my first time in Europe as well, so it's been a great experience so far.
And in terms of being a professional sports person, mm-hmm. And your MBA project, looking at the business of sports, I mean, fascinating to have you here. People who want to make a career in sport, any tips, any advice?
You know, in sports, it's about kind of who you know. You just got to put yourself out there and, you know, build a network within the sport community just any way you can. And, you know, kind of just wheel your way through and see opportunity you like and, you know, got to capitalize on it just like anything else in life.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose there's many crossovers from the world of sports to the world of social enterprise and the world of business in terms of planning, processes, systematic practice, mm-hmm. or the training, if you like.
Yeah, sports and business, I feel like it's kind of the same thing. It's all communication, teamwork. You're going to have to work with people you may not like working with. I feel like it's all hand in hand. You're going to have to be able to achieve a goal at the end of the day and, you know, and capitalize on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll come back to you in a moment, okay. if we can, Carl. Thank you very much for that. Vanda, we're hearing then lots of fantastic things about Suitworks here. The project at the moment has been set up to help unemployed men. Mm-hmm. It's a question you've been asked before. Has there been any plans in terms of women and suits for women? I know it's a question that you probably roll your eyes when people ask you, but it's a question that many of our listeners might be wondering about.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me about this. It is still a very new project. We only launched in January.
Yeah.
So, and it was kind of launched as a pilot to see how successful it could be before we made any further decisions. So eventually, may do women, but for the time being, I'm just going to continue working with men. And it's just practicalities. The project needs to grow and develop and be sustainable before we could sort of take on that side of things, because then we'd need much larger premises and it would just be a bit more complicated. Also, I do feel very much that there is a lot of support out there for women and not so much for men in this area. I think women are generally better at helping and supporting each other and sharing clothes, if you like, and swapping stuff around. So I do think that, you know, it's good to offer men some support in this area, which is why I'm concentrating on it. But eventually, who knows, we shall see. I'd say it's early days, yeah.
Indeed, early days, but achieved an awful lot in that time since starting.
Yeah. I'm really proud of myself, yeah. I think it's amazing. And it's just such a joy for me to be doing something that I love. It's just great. Yeah.
So you love to see the effect on people's confidence.
Yeah. I mean, just part of the joy for me is just bringing the best out in people and just helping them to sort of look at themselves and think, wow, actually, you know, I feel much more confident now. So that's good.
Absolutely. Superb. Well, brilliant. And people who want to get involved, who like the sound of the project, mm-hmm. can do so. They can bring a suit, of course.
Yeah, suits, shirts, ties, shoes, any accessories, belts, cufflinks. Yeah. Occasionally I do a charity shop trawl for shoes, because shoes are quite a difficult one, as you can imagine, to get hold of.
Yeah, great. And you have a website, but people can also drop things off.
We've got a few places where people can drop stuff off. So there's our offices, which are on Mowbray Street, and the details are on the website. Or they can drop stuff off at the Central Library. They very kindly collect things for us. Or we get a lot of support from an amazing family firm called Goodman Sparks Dry Cleaners. And they've got a place on Eccles Hall Road and a place on Meadowhead. And you can drop stuff there, but also they'll clean it and deliver it free of charge, which is just fantastic.
So you take something into Goodman Sparks up at on Eccles Hall Road. Now that's next to the co-op, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Or up at Meadowhead. Is that
correct?
At
Meadowhead, they've got a branch there. Yeah.
And they will not only deliver it to you, but they'll clean it as well.
They clean it free of charge. Yeah.
So all you need to do is tell them that you want to make this donation of these clothing to the Suitworks. That's tremendous. Partnership there from them.
Yeah.
So the business community in Sheffield is helping in a big way.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of people are really interested in the project and getting behind it. I've had quite a few suit drives come in now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very kindly, Wasco Brown did a suit drive for me, and Kyle's doing some stuff as well. So, yeah.
Marvellous.
And I had a great group of students in yesterday as well from Sheffield Futures, from Pet XI Training. And it's a group of 12 students. They're 16 to 18-year-olds, and they did a bit of a suit drive as well. So they came yesterday and sort of ironed some shirts and steamed some suits and to see how it all kind of worked. So that was lots of fun.
Superb. So fun for everyone, getting involved and supporting you too. Social enterprise in Sheffield. Our next interviewee, John Johnson, talks about how social enterprise seems to be thriving in Sheffield in the interview. What do you think?
I think it's very exciting times for social enterprise, and I think Sheffield certainly seems to have sort of taken it by the scruff of the neck and really be sort of pushing the boundaries of what you can achieve as a social enterprise. Obviously, money is an issue and sustainability, but there are lots of really exciting projects going on, and I really like the fact that the projects, a lot of them are sort of working together and helping support each other and sharing experiences and, you know, giving a lot of encouragement, which is fab.
Brilliant. Superb. Well, let's then just quickly turn to Simba once again before we wrap up today. So, Simba, we talked about the volunteering that you do with the British Red Cross, the work that you do to support refugees as well, and fundraising for British Red Cross too, and your ambitions in terms of as a carpenter as well. People who are perhaps thinking, well, this sounds like a fantastic project. Should I give them a call? What would you say to them?
Concerning the
suit works, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think you can conduct them. So there is a lot of people who don't have clothes, especially when they go for some interview. They should be well presentative. So I think the best way you can do, please, you can contact them and you can tell them Venda have got a very good shop, and then she can measure your size and then make for you.
So you would thoroughly endorse it? Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm so happy to refer people to her because she works very, very good.
Superb. Lovely. So before we give that the website address, Vanda, we'll also just give a quick mention as well for Wasco Brown Foundation. Carl, you've been here talking about the foundation because you've been working through them. Of course, you've been playing for the Sharks and bringing home the silverware as well. the Wasco Brown Foundation trying to support social enterprises, grassroots sports clubs, startup businesses as well. I don't know if you want to give out the website address for that.
The website for that is wascobrownfoundation.org.uk. So they want to have 100 enterprises and support 100 sports clubs, 100 sport charities by 2020. So if you need any type of help, office space which they can provide, any type of vision or financial support, contact Wasco Brown, contact Jim Lawson, and he can help you.
Superb. Thank you very much indeed for that, Kyle. Now, Simba, you've been fundraising for British Red Cross, of course, and you seem to be becoming a legendary fundraiser. Have you got any initiatives coming up? Any specific fundraising projects for British Red Cross?
Yeah. Every year, they can choose the Yorkshire men, especially in Yorkshire. So this year, I would take the award for Yorkshire Men. And then last year, 2015, I took an award also for fundraising. This year, I've raised a lot of money for supporting. What I do is I mobilize people to raise money to support the charity. So it's very, very good because there is a lot of people out there that are suffering. They need the support. So by so doing, it's a good thing to support someone who is not able to help himself.
And that's through British Red Cross. So listeners want to find out more can take a look at the website.
Definitely.
Superb. Wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Vanda, we're going to wrap up. You can give out the address for the Suit Works if people want to find out more.
Okay, so it's thesuitworks.co.uk. We've got a Twitter feed, @suitworks. And, there's a Facebook page as well.
Brilliant. Superb. Well, thanks so much for joining me in the studio. We've had Vanda Cooley of the Suit Works.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Simba Mandisritsa,
yes.
Volunteer at British Red Cross and a client of the Suit Works. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And, of course, Carl Odister here from California, playing for the Sheffield Sharks and involved in the Wasco Brown Foundation and supporting the Suit Works. Thank you.
Appreciate you having me.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting as ever through the internet as well, sheffieldlive.org. You can listen, of course, live if you're doing so. If you've only just tuned in, then don't panic, because you can catch up with the podcast of this programme on the Sheffield Live website later on. We'll have a quick break for a quick track of music. This is Steel City Rhythm. The track is Never Stop. They played, of course, at Peace in the Park last week. Steel City Rhythm. Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. That was a bit of Steel City Rhythm, Never Stop. Now, last week I caught up with John Johnson of Strip the Willow, well known in Sheffield social enterprise, and Jordan Gell, a volunteer. Now, John Johnson was talking with me about the Reach Co-Housing Project, a Sheffield social enterprise training apprentices to use reclaimed and recycled materials to build affordable eco-homes from shipping containers. Reach got through to the semi-final of the National Virgin Media Business Voom Pitch Competition, and I visited John to learn more about their plans for affordable eco-homes. We'll play the interview with John and Jordan now. John and Jordan, thanks so much for joining me today. So I'm sitting in Strip the Willow in Sheffield, now a fixture on the social enterprise scene in Sheffield, but not the only project that you're involved with. You're through to the final of the Voom pitching.
Semi-final.
Yeah. Of the Voom. If you get through to the final, then that's when the big bucks start coming in as well.
That's when we actually win something that... Yeah.
But off to London to share your vision. And it's a vision that you're already making come true in terms of developing a prototype for affordable housing. And it's eco-affordable housing. Now, I'm really, really interested in this. It looks absolutely fascinating. But first of all, tell us about the need. Why is there a need for what you're doing?
Everybody knows there's a crisis with housing supply in the country at the moment, Jamie. There are no affordable houses virtually being built. The government are not helping because the policies mitigate against that kind of building. Land supply and land prices mean it's developers not interested in doing that kind of thing, and nobody's putting their arm up their back to make them do it. In the meantime, average wages are falling, house prices are rising, right to buy is taking supply out of the market. Housing associations are up against it with the right to buy and housing benefit being cut and a cap being put on the amount of rent that they can charge, which goes against the agreement that was made, but that's another issue. People are in a desperate strait. People like Jordan here are coming out of university. My own son is 12 now. Guys like these and girls are looking to a future where they're not going to be able to afford their own place to live, and that's whole generations in the future. Every policy that's going at the minute is pushing people towards having to rely on a rental sector, which is not reliable, where 35% of properties don't meet a habitable home standard. And there's, at the moment, there is just no viable alternative. Nobody seems to be looking on the commercial scale at a solution, and we've got one.
So creating a solution isn't just about creating homes for people to buy. It's about doing something about the rental system, in which rents are rising, in which, as you say, 35% of homes are actually not habitable, don't meet habitable standards, and in which people are being squeezed because of rising prices. Now, in Sheffield, how many houses do we need to be created to meet demand?
According to a recent council report, which proposes solutions on a number of things up to 2035, they're looking at 44,000 extra houses in the city that need to be built in the next 20 years.
And is that going to happen?
At the present rate, I think they're building 1,500 a year, so no, there's no way that's going to happen. And the houses that are being built, there are some eco-homes, there are an amount of new homes, but they're not what you would call affordable. I think the cheapest new build at the moment, the two big developments up at Norfolk Park, the two-bedroom homes up there start at about 160,000. So if you're in a rented property paying £500-600 a month rent and trying to save up a £40,000 deposit on your new house, it doesn't take much doing of mathematics to figure out that it's going to take you a long time without a relative dying or something like that, or a lottery win, to ever stand any chance of being able to afford even a starter home and get that first foot on the ladder.
So REACH, then, your vision here is all about creating an alternative solution in terms of homes that people can afford, but as well as being affordable and attainable, you're talking about fully specced out eco homes as well.
That's right.
So you're working on a pilot project, you're working on a prototype, if you like, that's up at Healy City Farm, well known by many of us here in Sheffield. And what does this prototype look like?
At the moment, it looks like a 40-foot, 9-foot, 6-high shipping container. It's bright orange, so people will be able to see it.
Pretty visible.
Yeah, it'll soon have REACH Homes logo painted on the side of it. It'll stand out even more. And kind of firstly say how grateful we are to Healy City Farm and John LaCorney and his team for hosting us up there at the side of the Alternative Energy Centre, which is absolutely brilliant. We're going to share a lot of technology and development as we go on. But it's a fantastically visible place. And we're looking forward to working on that over the next couple of 3 months. So I'm hoping to have that prototype done by the end of August so that people can come up and touch it and feel it and see how good you can actually turn out. It's going to be a one-bedroom just for space considerations, but the kind of finish and the kind of equipment that you can get into a house for the kind of price that we're talking about.
Well, tell us more about the finish and the equipment you'll have in it.
Yeah, we're aiming for as good a spec as we can possibly get for the money. So we're not going to cut any corners because we're aiming for between 50 and 80% recycled materials. So the reduced costs of the material help to keep the cost down. Part of what we do at Strictly Willow and our social enterprise model here is to train up apprentices and work experience people to do the work. So that helps to keep the costs down, and they'll be working alongside experts in the solar and insulation and plumbing and electrics to provide a real top quality home. Anybody who's Googled container homes on the internet, there are hundreds of good examples around the world. Very, very few in this country. I think it's a perception thing. The first thing people say when you say we're doing shipping container homes is, I don't want to live in a metal box. If you think about it, we all live in concrete or brick or wooden boxes at the moment. So it's really just a matter of showing people that a metal space is no different. People think it'll get hot in the summer and cold in the winter, but we're going to insulate it and use techniques that are used in Germany and Scandinavia to make sure that doesn't happen. It's all going to be climate controlled. In fact, the climate in these houses should be healthier and nicer to live in than existing homes, because they're going to be mechanically ventilated with a heat exchanger, so that sucks all the moist, stale air out and then heats up fresh air coming back in. We're going to insulate them to a standard called Passive House, which is extensively used in Germany and Scandinavia, where it's very heavily insulated building envelope. It stops the heat transmission to the outside, which also helps to cut your domestic bills by up to 80%. It's another bonus. We're looking to get all the properties certified to a variety of standards, of which Passive House is one. So these really are going to be top quality homes, and all we're doing is we're taking all the flabby bits out of the existing building process. We're taking the heavily labour intensive bits out. We're taking a lot of the block work and material supply costs out, and shaving it down as much as we can. We're a not-for-profit business. We're not looking to make a huge amount of money out of this. Although having said that, I've got a financial plan heading forward over the next 5 or 6 years, which means that by phase 5 of the project, which should be about 18 months, 2 years, we'll be able to buy land at commercial rate and then sell the houses with the freehold. By phase seven, which is probably going to be 3 years or so, we'll be able to provide financed properties, so people won't have to go cap in hand to the banks. And we'll also be able to look at the social housing market, which again is being decimated at the moment. Social housing supply is drying up because of the right to buy and the squeeze that's being put on housing associations. People just can't afford affordable places to live, so that's why we've come up with this scheme.
So that's an absolutely fascinating phased rollout that you have there, where you are looking to generate a surplus that enables you to ultimately provide affordable housing in a social housing model as well. So you need to be creating the income. Now, really interesting how you get from prototype stage to phase five and phase seven that you've just talked about. What's between prototype and phase five, and how do you get there? How do you get sufficient income coming in to get there? What are you dependent on? What are the challenges?
Right, the big sticking point at the moment, obviously, is land supply, and that's always going to be an issue, particularly in an area like Sheffield, which is bordered by the Peak District on one side, obviously, and other authority boundaries on the other. So there is a limited amount of land to use. Having said that, there's a lot of brownfield land in Sheffield, which we're looking to redevelop. There are a lot of sites where, because of the versatility of the containers that we're using, we can put them in places where you wouldn't contemplate doing a traditional build. So Jordan's been helping me out identifying some of those sites around town. I've got a meeting with the councillor in charge of infrastructure in a couple of weeks' time, and we're going to be discussing options to take it forward. And I know John Mothersong, the CEO of the council, is also personally interested in finding a solution to this and talking to us. So I've tried to create a public consensus to start with, and the Voom thing has been absolutely brilliant in doing that, because it's got the message out to thousands and thousands of people. And I'm being approached on a daily basis by people who've heard about it, who are encouraging us, who are saying, "This is desperately needed, please go ahead, and how can we help?" And I've been snowed under with offers of help from experts, from volunteers, from people who want to buy the houses. We've got a long waiting list already of potential clients. I know we can sell them. The market is there, and people are absolutely gagging for the chance to be able to own their own home. It's, you know, I don't believe in that, those kind of Thatcherite policies of property ownership being the key to anything. I just think people have a basic human right. If they want to be able to afford a house, then they should be able to have it and not be forced to live in rented property, and give their money to people who, let's face it, if they can afford to rent out property, have already got enough money, and should be sharing that around and giving other people a chance.
So demand's there. Jordan, you're nodding here clearly.
Yeah.
But also a willingness to be involved and to support the project is there. You're getting massive offers of help. And it sounds as though you have institutions on your side to a certain extent. Land supply is a challenge, as you've mentioned, but identifying appropriate brownfield land, unsuitable for traditional development, unused, and in need of an exciting new life is clearly where you're looking. Now, Jordan, you're looking, you're helping,
yes,
with this as a volunteer in the project. What first got you excited about it?
Well, firstly, I kind of came down and wound up having a bit of a chat to John, and we got onto common ground about the project. And hearing about it really excited me for a couple of reasons. Firstly, at my age, just leaving university, the chances of being able to own anything within the next few years are very, very slim. It's a really tough world out there for people currently leaving with an awful lot of debt, and then massive house prices and hugely inflated cost of land as well. Just having those bills that go out every single month can be really damaging.
Indeed. And from your point of view, I mean, you've seen this firsthand with student accommodation.
Oh, yes.
but not meeting remotely environmental standards.
Yeah. A lot of houses, especially, we got quite lucky this year because we went into a newly renovated house, although it has cost a lot to do it. But in previous years, just freezing cold houses, rubbish heating, just holes in bits of the walls and stuff, like things that you wouldn't really think about, damp. And I've seen a lot of things and heard a lot from other students about their experience while here, and the housing situation is really quite dire at times. And
yes.
If someone has something, they will rent it as is to make a quick buck, rather than going through the necessary steps, because it isn't their problem. They're still going to make money because the demand is so high.
Yeah, and yeah, you're showing that you can do it at a very reasonable cost in terms of, you know, prototype now, but then you're, when you go out to market, you're talking 1,200 square foot unit, 65,000 as a basic cost before, you know, adding on bells and whistles. This doesn't include the cost of land, but this is a house that's of a good size with phenomenal environmental standards. Passive house.
Easily extendable as well. If somebody wants another bedroom, they can just ring me up and say we'd like another bedroom, and we'll just prep one up and take it to them 3-4 weeks.
And supply of containers won't be a problem.
Yeah, the construction process is clean, quick, less disruption for the neighbours because it arrives already done. Cuts down on your carbon miles with all your deliveries to and fro. It makes project management a lot easier. And I don't see any reason why in 5 years' time we shouldn't have a yard in every city in the country. I mean, I'm sure people are going to come along and try and copy it, but they're not going to touch us on price.
Yeah.
Because we've got the social enterprise model, and we've got the using the recycled materials. And I know sorting the logistics out for that's going to be a nightmare, but there's so much stuff gets chucked away. I've just had all the trimmings off the roof of the mosque that they're redoing down on Wolseley Road. It's 200 mil thick king span. That stuff goes for about 60, 70 quid a sheet if you're buying it retail. We've got enough there to clad the whole of the bottom of a 40-foot container, which is going to save all the heat going out of the bottom, and that's just stuff that would have been landfilled.
And you're talking about most of the material being used on the house being recycled?
Well, 50 to 80%, that's going to include the container, because we've got to count the container as recycled material. The only things we're probably going to have to buy are the things like composting toilets and the MVHR pumps and the solar panels and the technical bits, but I'll recycle them if we can. Because there are plenty that are coming back into the system now, because people are replacing them and upgrading.
Yes.
So we can still reuse those. We can, and we can feed, like we do with Strip at the minute, we can feed stuff into other projects. If we can't use it, we can still put it into district heating projects. They're looking at doing one down on Washington Road, a big one on top of the flats down there, which will provide enough solar energy to hopefully heat most of the flats down there. We can feed into that. We can do R&D for people. We can bring on new technology. We're already working with some big name suppliers like PGK Solar in Nottingham. They're one of the biggest importers in the country, and they're giving us the solar system at cost for the prototype. People are really, really excited about the fact that we're doing this a different way, and that we're trying to really make a difference. And they can see that the sums add up, the logistics add up, the idea adds up, and the supply and demand adds up. It's a call it a perfect storm, because that's a bit negative, but it's a perfect virtuous spiral of stuff that's just going to feed off itself and really take on a life of its own, I think.
And as a social enterprise, it's going to earn its income. That allows you to reinvest in this and
it's going to create loads of jobs, it's going to create loads of opportunities for people. The people that come in on the apprenticeships and work experience, I'm still thinking this through on the fly, but they can earn credits towards getting their own home. So instead of having long-term unemployed people without any prospects, they can come and learn basic skills through us and maybe end up with a home themselves. And I don't know how it'll fit into housing budgets, shrinking housing benefit budgets and things like that, but I don't see any reason why people shouldn't get a leg up on the ladder through that, to give them the self-reliance and self-confidence to go off on their own, rather than having to rely on the social sector all the time. Because that's it's shrinking and the supply is not there, and councils are up against it with the financial side of administering those kind of schemes. That's something where I think the market will eventually sort itself out, but it needs us at the bottom stoking it to make that happen and to provide those opportunities.
Great. I just want to ask you again about where you've had social enterprise support and where you've had and the difference that Voom's made for you. So can you just tell me that again?
Right, well, Voom it's been a fantastic profile raiser. There's so many people know of us and what we're doing now and know about the project. so they know there's something credible out there. But I've also had support from, obviously, Healy City Farm. We've had the funding from Unlimited already and the backup from Unlimited. We've just been accepted onto Business in the Community's ARC programme, which is 12 months of business support. I've got to do a video interview because I can't go to the actual live pitch on Tuesday now with the School for Social Entrepreneurs for the scale-up. Scale-up scheme. I've just done just finished the startup and graduated from that. So amazing support from them. The support from the team here and the volunteers here at Strip has been. I wouldn't be in a position to do it if it hadn't been for all the people who've put time and effort in over the last 2.5 years to keep this place going. All the people who've donated us stuff and bought stuff from us and just taken us to their hearts, really, because this was a mad idea 2.5 years ago, and we were sat with a finger in the air wondering if it would work and if we could get £40 a day off customers to keep it going. And
what are you up to now?
We're paying quite a few wages. I've just taken on another chap who's been with me on. He's just done 6 months work experience from Groundwork. I'm just taking him on, so we are doing exactly what we said we were going to do when we opened up. We're just doing it a slightly quicker than we ever thought we were going to be able to.
Is social enterprise thriving in Sheffield?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm the secretary of the Social Enterprise Network, and as you know, and you know from meetings down at Union Street and so on, there's a fantastic strength in depth of lots of very clever, motivated, passionate people doing a lot of really good things. We're trying to bring that together and stoke it and get the council on board with it and find out what the social enterprise landscape is in Sheffield, because we don't even know that at the moment. We're trying to get Sheffield noticed as a social enterprise place through Social Enterprise UK. We're working with the people in Manchester to try and take that bid forward. Unlimited have just offered us a very generous pot of money as an accelerator for social enterprise, which we're hoping to be administering through the enterprise network to members in the autumn. It's a very, very exciting sector to be in, and I think it really is the future of driving the economy forward, because they're ethical businesses who are doing things that need to be done the right way, and they're listening to the people who need the things doing for them. They're not just putting something in place and it being a one-size-fits-all solution. They're tailored solutions to real-life problems. That's why I love it so much, because it's really responsive to what people need, and it's not just some accountant's idea of how it should work and then all the money gets taken out of the system and taken out of the city and put in somebody's bank account in this country or Panama. As Jordan says, it's local money for local people, and it keeps the wheels turning. Money to me, I'm not interested in making money out of it. I don't want paying for this. I just want to be able to make a difference, and money's just another tool to make it happen. It shouldn't be the be-all and end-all of what everybody is striving for. It's far more important that we care for each other and make sure that everybody's happy and comfortable and has got a good standard of living. And that's coming from somebody who spent 26 years in the police service thinking that he was doing everything the right way. And wake up, people. We need to change the way we're doing things.
So, John, trying to change the world and achieving that with Strip the Willow, looking to achieve that with Reach Co-Housing, and a project that certainly meets a very defined, well-documented need for affordable housing, for access to housing, and a need for houses to reduce their environmental impact too. And all the best with the project, John. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jamie. Cheers.
You've been listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We're back on air next Friday from 9 to 10, so tune in then. Thanks for listening today. Next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk, from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon, presented today by Mick. So tune in for that. Tune in next week as well. Thanks for listening. Back on air next week.